Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Two school districts in Massachusetts will be under state control this year, Holyoke and Lawrence. Holyoke schools were put under receiverships just this year, but Lawrence Public Schools were the first back in 2011 after years of poor academic performance and low graduation rates. After more than 3 years, state education officials now say there have been some successes in Lawrence, but yet there's a lot of work to be done. So to get a closer look at what has changed in Lawrence and possible lessons for Holyoke, we're joined by Jeffrey Riley. He's the state-appointed receiver of Lawrence Public Schools, and he joins us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, you were given broad powers to help transform Lawrence's public schools. What's the first thing that you set your mind to doing back when you started in 2012?
Sure. You know, when I first got there, there was a lot of negativity about the school system, certainly. There was a lot of calls to replace the entire teaching force, turn it into charter schools. The first thing I actually did was I spent the first 4 to 6 months actually assessing the school system. And what I found was the strength of the school system was the teachers. They were, bar none, some of the best urban educators that I've seen. So we actually kept 90% of the teachers, but in our turnaround plan, we felt like there was a failure in leadership, so we replaced about half the principals, and we cut the central office significantly, including moving out of a expensive lease and moving into the basement of the old high school.
Right. So there's a lot to talk about in the answer that you just gave me, but
sure.
I want to focus on something specific for a second, because you said there was a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, we were listening back to a piece that WBUR aired back in 2011 about the Lawrence Public Schools, and it featured one student in particular, Ian Booten, who was in his last year at the Weatherby Elementary School. And here's what he had to say about his school being labeled chronically underperforming in 2011.
When I go somewhere, people already judge me before they know me just because I'm from Lawrence, and that just makes it even worse. They think that I don't do anything and that I can't learn and that I'm stupid.
You're shaking your head, yeah. I mean, how much did that matter to you, the student morale, to your approach?
Yeah, I think it was hugely important. I think what we saw was that people were kind of feeling beaten down. Kids, teachers, parents, and some of the success we've had has enabled people to kind of feel better about what's happening in the city.
So has student morale increased then?
I think there's no question. And I think, you know, you look at the Weatherby School, which, you know, may have been an underperforming school. It's gone to be a level one school in the last few years. So I think, you know, we've seen some significant gains in positivity.
Okay. So there's a lot of potential strategies in changing or turning around an entire district. And as you mentioned, one of the things that you did is you initially kept 90% of the teaching staff, even though you had the power to ask them to all reapply for their jobs. But I understand also, though, that after that first year, about a third of the district teachers ended up leaving anyway.
Well, I mean, I think Lawrence has historically turned over about 10 to 15% of its teaching force regardless, so you have to factor that into the equation. Some people did leave when we extended the school day in the K-8 space who felt like it was too long a school day and they couldn't make that commitment, and we were okay with that.
Mm. So then how much, I mean, you said you cut a third of the central office and replaced almost half of the school principals.
Indeed. But
why was that such a key change?
You know, as I said at the beginning, I think the key to Lawrence is the teachers, and we have, I think, the best teachers in Massachusetts at this point. And we needed to make sure that the leadership that was at the top in those buildings was working with the teachers and making sure that they were doing everything they could to make the teachers successful.
Right.
And so that was just hugely important to what we were trying to get done.
So can you give me an example of how, you know, either things weren't working, how leadership wasn't working, and then what changed? Because I'm really just trying to understand
Sure.
sort of more granularly why that made such a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one of the, there's probably several, but one of the most striking things is we had some principals that didn't feel that they had to be welcoming to parents when they came into a school building. Their idea was simply, give us your kids at 8 in the morning, we'll give them back to you at 3. You don't need to come any further. And that's not exactly how you improve things in education. You need parents to be partners in the work. And at the same time, there was this this feeling that the Lawrence parents didn't care about their kids, which was completely false and a complete lie. And the fact that we were able to bring in people that were more welcoming and get the parents on board has been hugely impactful and has gotten results.
Right. You know, I think there have been many a study that shows that parental involvement, you know, sort of at every age of a or stage of a child's education really can make quite a difference.
No question.
Were you able to get, I mean, you say parents already cared, obviously, about their kids' education. Were you be able to get them more involved in the district?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the President's Council, which is the one representative from each school meets with me on a bi-monthly basis. We've seen parents being involved in all the afternoon activities, the events, getting more involved in the kids' homework. There's just a feeling that there's block parties that take place at the different schools. There's just a feeling that parents are welcome now.
So how do you think it's best to measure the sort of academic or performance level differences from between now and back in 2011? Because I've got MCAS numbers here, but they're still at below state average.
Sure. I mean, I think you could make a case that Lawrence has been arguably one of, if not the most improved school system on test scores over the last 2 years. But we recognize we have a long way to go to close those achievement gaps. The graduation rate is up significantly, about 15 points. We think that's going to go higher this year when the numbers come out. The dropout rate has been cut in half. There are different metrics we look at. Proficiency rates have gone up in English, math, and science to historical levels. But we recognize that we want our kids to be at the state average or above, regardless of the fact that, 92% of my kids live in poverty.
Right. So the graduation rate last year was 67%, and that was a significant increase, as you said, but still, just for perspective, 19% below the state average.
Sure.
And I'm seeing also that, for example, proficiency on the math MCAS increased from 28 to 41% since 2011. English from 41 to 44%, and science from 13 to 21%. But for the turnaround technically to be considered successful, you've got it, Lawrence, the district has to hit certain marks, right? Like by 2018, the graduation rate's supposed to be at 78%. Is that doable?
We think it's doable. I mean, it's an audacious goal to be sure, but we think we can get there.
You confident? You think you can do it? Are you confident that you can get there?
I'm confident in my people. I really am.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit more about, you mentioned that 90% of your students come from low-income families and homes. Just tell me a little bit more about how the schools are, dealing with, dealing's not the right word, but how the district sort of factors that into their considerations.
Sure. I mean, I think when we extended the school day in the K-8 space, we were able to bring back so much more of the arts and enrichment. Our kids were able to get breakfast, lunch, snacks, and really get our kids focused on academics as well. So I think by having a more comprehensive approach, we're able to kind of fend off some of the effects of poverty.
Okay. So let's take a step back here because, I was thinking a little earlier today that, in a manner of speaking, state receivership is kind of the option of last resort, right?
Sure.
You don't really want to have to seize control of a district away from the district, right? Is there really no other way prior to that to really affect the kind of deep changes that you were able to as the receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I think the state has certain systems in place, identifying schools as level four, chronically underperforming. They have a system in place, but after a while, when you don't see any gains, Lawrence was historically in the bottom three of all school districts in Massachusetts, right? Based on their most recent calculations, and they have an algorithm where they kind of add improvement plus absolute performance. We've leapfrogged over 40 cities and towns.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly having the authority of receivership helped, but we didn't exactly use all of the authority that we were given. We felt like it was more important to do the work with people rather than do it to people, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Well, because I'm wondering, I mean, you did things such as implement a combination of charter-run schools and regular district schools, right?
We asked at some of our worst-performing schools for some charter organizations, or in one case, the Lawrence Teachers Union, to come in and take over the running of that school with a few conditions. They had to be neighborhood schools. There could be no lottery. They could run the school as they saw fit, but they all had to be part of the Lawrence Teachers Union. Mm-hmm. We're proud to say we're an AFT school district.
Yeah. Can that be done? I mean, can innovations like that be done in the absence of the state having to take receivership?
I mean, I think you've seen it done in other cities, probably not to the extent that we've done it, but it can be done. I think we had an opportunity that not everyone has.
Mm. A couple more questions here. You received some criticism a little earlier this year after dismissing some 57 teachers and staff, I understand, and many of the teachers said that they weren't properly evaluated. Is that a fair criticism of your decision?
We don't think so. I trust my principals and the work that they do and the process that they have. This, by the way, is a process which every school district in Massachusetts does. And so everyone, if you're a teacher within your first 3 years, you have an opportunity to non-renew people without cause within those first 3 years before they get tenure. And for a district, there could be many reasons why you do it. It could be the enrollment patterns. We don't think we need enough an extra teacher in 10th grade, so the new person has to be non-renewed. It could be because they lack certification. It could be because we don't feel they're up to standards. There could be numerous reasons. And so because of that, there were 57, which was fewer than the year before. But we've actually already brought back, I think, 12 or 13. So, you know, it's a process when you have a district as large as ours where we have to be able to make adjustments over the summer to make sure that we're staffing up correctly.
Best moment on the job so far?
Oh, boy. You know, I think I got to go and watch a play at the high school. And the kids were subsequently invited to go to Edinburgh, Scotland, and perform at the Fringe Festival. And I think, you know, we believe deeply in academics, but we believe deeply that our kids deserve high-quality enrichment, you know, arts, athletics, debate team, musical theater, those kind of things.
Okay, the flip side, toughest moment on the job so far.
I'm going to say last winter when I called my 11th snow day.
Oh, dear. I suppose that's something that people across the state felt. But final question to you. I mean, we mentioned Holyoke schools at the top here because they were put into state receivership just this year. Stephen Zreike he's been recently named the receiver for Holyoke schools. Perhaps you've already talked to him, but what's a piece of advice or a lesson that you'd like to share with him?
You know, I'm not sure I should be giving lessons to anyone outside of my community. My view is more parochial. I try to focus on Lawrence. I mean, I think what we did was we really took some time at the beginning to assess the district and to talk to everyone so you get a clear picture. And when you go about making a turnaround plan, it has a chance to really get some good traction and results.
Well, Jeffrey Riley is the state-appointed receiver for Lawrence Public Schools. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.